right. Hello. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. I have my friend Omar Cruz with me today. So say hello, Omar.
How's it going?
So we've survived two podcast episodes so far. It's been pretty fun. How does it sound in your headphones? Does it sound okay?
Sounds good.
You need more of me?
I can always use more of you.
So the last episode we had, it was a surprise episode. We had some of our mutual friends in town, and we surprised my wife, letting her know that they were going to spend the night, and it was fun. I do want to apologize. It was pretty drunk and disorderly, and I tried to prevent as much of the rambling as I could, but that was kind of difficult. So, anyways, today it'll probably be a little bit different, or hopefully be a lot better because we're a lot more sober. So,
allegedly.
So, Omar, I'd like to start with, you know, one of the things, some of the feedback. And by the way, I want to thank everybody for giving me feedback on this podcast. It's important to me, and I appreciate all my friends and even the people that are complete strangers that are sending me, you know, thousands of emails about this. I appreciate the feedback. So one of the things that the feedback that I got was, you know, we need a little bit of a backstory for all these co-hosts because I'm having a different co-host, not every episode, because I'm sure you'll be back. We'll probably have you back with Ernie and everybody, but it would be good to give a little bit of backstory. So let's just spend a little bit of time. So first of all, where are you from?
I'm originally from Kingsville, Texas. Very south.
You know what's funny? I'm from the Valley, and the Valley is, so I was born in Mexico City, but I'm from the Valley. And the Valley is, and that is the bottom tip of, if you put your thumb at the bottom of Texas, that's the Valley.
Where the palm trees start.
And Amy's like, well, why do they call it the Valley? It doesn't make any sense. There's no mountains. I'm like, well, it's the Rio Grande River Valley. River Valley. So, but it's funny because the people from Kingsville are very similar. You guys are like the poor San Antonio.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's, you're almost a big city. You're a little bit further north, but you're still kind of like us.
Our economic growth was based on cattle.
Yeah.
Farming.
Yeah.
The Air Force.
The ranch.
Yeah. The ranch itself and the military. Yeah. And of course, it's a college town, so.
But the other nice thing, though, is the food is awfully similar. Very similar. Very a little more similar. Seafood there, but very similar. Some of the best Tex-Mex or Mexican food, if you want to call it that. So I get along. And so it's funny because Ernie is from Brownsville, also from the Valley. And so you're from Kingsville. All right. So another question here. How long have we known each other?
So I just had this conversation with Ernie the other day, and I moved to San Antonio in 2004. And we probably met at least a year after that or so.
Yeah, maybe 2005.
So 2005.
That sounds about right. 2005 sounds good.
Solid 12 and a half years or so.
Oh, that's a long
that's
time.
A very long time.
And you're still friends. All right. So I'm going to try and keep these questions standardized from here on out. This one you're going to chuckle at. How did we meet?
Ernie forced you to be my friend.
That's right.
Didn't he? Yeah. Go be friends with my friends.
So I met you at a show that we were playing. So I was in a band in San Antonio with Ernie, was a drummer at the time. And I had a lot of my high school friends in town. This is in San Antonio. And I think it was Ernie's very first gig.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. So Ernie's like, hey, I want you to meet my friend Omar. And so you guys are standing right behind me, and I'm sitting at the table, this big long table with all my, like 12 of my best friends, and we're just laughing and having a good time. And I had to stop, and I'm gonna have to edit out that burp. And I had to stop, and then I looked over my shoulder and I saw you, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And it was like in Goodfellas when Henry Hill and Karen were at the country club, and she introduces him to his neighbor. You know, like I couldn't be less interested. When I saw you, like,
I don't have room for more friends right now.
Like, this table is full, kind of elbows on. So anyways, so I turned around, I was like, oh, hey, Omar, hi, nice to meet you, I'm Lenny Sanchez. And then I immediately turned back around and I started talking to my friends again. And Ernie tapped on my shoulder again. No, listen, introduce my friend to all of your friends. Okay, I guess. Maybe it was like a make-a-wish or something like that. Okay. So I like begrudgingly, I was like, all right, well, everybody, this is Omar. Omar, this is everybody. So I was kind of an asshole. But ever since then, I think we've been really good friends. Again, I think I'm going to say this about everybody on my podcast. I'm going to say you're probably one of the best friends I have. So yeah, get used to the fact that everybody hearing, I have a shitload of really good friends, and I consider most of them my best friends. So
Feeling is mutual.
Yeah. Oh, I know it is. Oh, we've been through a lot.
We've come through a lot. A kick in the nuts.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get into that.
Many drunken nights too.
Yeah, we'll get into that too. So, all right. So, yeah. So then I was going to say, how do we know each other? So Ernie introduced us. So you came into the picture from Ernie, and you introduced me to your brother, a lot of your friends. I introduced you to a lot of my friends. So we've got a lot of friends, mutual friends, and then new mutual friends. All right. Anyways, so I'll tell you, my fondest memory of us is when it was... I can't remember if it was my birthday or if it was... It might have been my birthday. And my friend Raul came into town from the Valley. And he was single, and none of my other friends from the Valley came in, but he came in, and I think we had gone to like some British pub, and then like a nice British pub had dinner. It was a bunch of us. It was like 60 of us. And then we ended up in a Baker Street, another shittier British pub, which wasn't British at all.
Where they serve beer by the six pack.
Yeah. And then it was towards the end of the night, and you wanted to have an after party. And my buddy Omar was exhausted. Raul was exhausted. He just wanted to go home. And he's like, listen, dude, do you mind if we just call it a night? I'm kind of tired. It's already 2 in the morning. I'm like, listen, dude. And my buddy Omar, he just got back from Iraq. So, he's like, all right, might as well go. So we'll do it. So we ended up at your place, which you were in the Army and you served in Iraq.
I did.
So we ended up back at your place, and hardly anybody else showed up. And I passed out immediately. I was drunker than a skunk, and I just immediately passed out.
This was the night where you told him, if you can get a hold of a cab.
I couldn't even call a cab. The taxi company kept hanging up on me, which I have to say, that's pretty dangerous. And again, this is before Uber. But yeah, you used to have to pick up your phone. You used to have to know where you were, which is already a challenge as it is, right? Like, you had to know where you... Like, you can't tell a cat... Like, with Uber, fucking GPS, and poop, I'll be right there, and a car shows up, and you magically end up home. Granted, you might get fondled by some weirdo, but still, you end up home. The cab, you have to give them, like, addresses and shit like that. And I didn't know where the fuck I was. And I remember I called the cab company, like, 2 or 3 times, and they kept hanging up on me. So, anyways... So the next morning I wake up on your couch. My other buddy Omar, I mean my other buddy Raul was on the couch as well. And he goes, so your friend told me, I was asking him when did he get back from Iraq? And what did you say?
2004.
It was like 3 years ago.
It's like 3 years after the fact.
So, I mean, it's not exactly stolen valor, because you did go. It's just that I was using it as like, he just came back from Iraq. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Omar was pretty pissed about that. But he laughed about it. Sorry, I'm going to get you guys confused. He was pretty upset about that, but it's pretty funny. So that's actually one of my fondest memories. So, now let's rewind a little bit, because the point, or at least the attempted point of this podcast, is to try and give life advice or marriage advice or whatever. So you recently got engaged. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumped over to the dark side, right?
Like, so we're going to skip all the fun stuff that we did, and we're going to just go right into the... No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Do you want to do a little pre-engagement? So I will say, like, when we were both single, like, it was... Man, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, when you're single, like, we never... Yeah, you had a couple of girlfriends here and there. I might have dated a few girls here and there, but it was never anything serious for long term. I don't remember you having...
There was really never any... There was some significant relationships,
but never serious,
but nothing very serious to where there was even talk of engagement.
Yeah, that was the same thing with me. I never really, I went out with a lot of girls. Not a lot. I went out with like maybe 3, and it was fun. It was mutual, but it was never. I always knew that it was just to hang out and whatever.
Fill the void.
But never did I ever even entertain about like introducing to my mom. God forbid.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same thing with you. I never really had that like real heartbreak. I've never broken up with a girl and like Now, for the most part, if a girl and I decided not to sleep with each other, see each other anymore, it was fairly mutual, and she's like, listen, I don't think this is gonna work out. I was like, yeah, I totally agree. I see your point. And they're like, well, maybe you shouldn't have agreed so fast. Maybe that's the problem. Like, well, maybe it is. So we did a lot of concerts together. We went to a lot of shows. Oh, did you bring the audio?
No, I did not.
God damn it.
I'll email it to you.
Maybe if we take a break, I'll find it. We went to a pretty fun Bob Schneider concert in Helotes, and a small town outside of San Antonio. And we had a fantastic time at that gig. It was a lot of fun at that show. Bob Schneider puts on one hell of a concert, especially back in the day. I'm sure he does, still does.
Still now. Does. I've seen him recently. I probably saw him about a month ago. And
I remember that night at that concert, I had a friend of mine with me, and she was just having a blast. She got really drunk, and we wanted to go to another bar after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, all right, I'll meet you guys there. And so I get my friend in the car. I was driving a Jeep at the time, and we start heading that way. And I look over in the passenger seat, and not only is she asleep, but she is hunched over, like completely hunched over, almost like when they train people, like when the plane's about to crash, the crash position.
Yeah.
That's what she was like. And I was like, wow, I've never been more turned on in my life. I'm kidding. So anyways, no, she was absolutely wasted. And I remember I texted you guys back. I said, listen, guys, there's no way I can make it to this bar. This bitch is way too shit-faced. We're not going to let her in. And I literally said, this bitch is way too shit-faced. And all of a sudden, her phone goes off. You know, she's like, it's like, who's blowing up my phones? And she grabs her phone and she looks at it and she reads the... She goes, you sent it to the wrong person, Leonard. So, anyway, so if she's listening, she knows who she is. And thank you for that. That was an amazing time. So anyways... So what else, Omar? What other shenanigans do you want to get? You want to get out of your chest? You want to share? So by the way, is your fiance going to listen? First question: does your fiance know you're here doing this?
She does.
Really?
Yeah.
And then
she signed off on it.
She signed off on it.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know how.
When you told her, you said, "Hey, babe, I'm going to go record a podcast with Lenny."
Or I even said I'm going to go to Lenny's, and she's like, "Oh, have fun. I'm sure it'll be great."
Wait.
Do you know the same Leonard Sanchez that I know?
So. She said, go have fun. I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah.
That was a tone? Like, those the same inflections?
Oh, followed by, I think you can use this. And I'm like, what is she implying here that I don't
see, this sounds like a trap.
It does.
I don't think she was, so we'll get to, I don't think she really meant, like, I don't think she meant, like, oh my God, that sounds like a badass time. Go have fun with your friend. I think it meant, like, oh yeah, sure. Go to your friend's house. That sounds like you need it.
So I will say this about Stephanie. She's a great woman, and she truly does. She's more social than I am. I think you know this, Lenny. I can sit on a couch and watch movies and be totally content texting or having a conversation over the phone. Stephanie really enjoys social interaction. So when she says go, she probably genuinely does mean it.
Maybe.
In the same breath, yeah. I think she could also use a break from me.
Oh,
maybe that's what it is.
Maybe yeah, I can totally get that.
Yeah.
So you're definitely extroverted though. You're social and extroverted. I know you can enjoy your alone time, but you can be the life of the party. We all know that.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, I remember we were at a friend's birthday party, and we won't say names. And one of her friends was all over you. You remember that party? And it was so weird because I was texting her the other day too. I had never seen a girl be so interested. And again, you lost a shitload of weight, but at the time we were both bigger men, and
I was wearing a brown polo.
Yeah,
not the most attractive
color. No. And she was like, this guy right here inside of me right now.
Oh my
like
God.
She did not. She was like, no, we don't pass go. We don't collect $200. No, we fuck right now. She was she was all in, and for some reason, and I don't know how this happened. I don't know. Maybe you have better morals than me. But you completely resisted and you didn't want to, and it was so strange. But you saying no made it worse. It made her want you even more. You don't even remember this.
I do remember. She cried.
Yeah. She was. I can't remember. I think her friend was texting me in the middle of the night saying, "Can Omar still come over?" Because we ended up back crashing at my place.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Can Omar still come over?" She's still asking for him. So That was pretty funny. And you know what? It's funny because, like, guys always want women to be assertive, and we want them to, you know, hey, you know, if you're affectionate, show some affection. But then once they do it, you're like, don't be desperate. It's gross.
How many times have you done this before?
Yeah, exactly. don't be desperate. Ugh. But anyway, so I do remember that. That was pretty fucking funny. And I was very proud of you.
It started as a dinner party, didn't it?
It was a birthday party.
That's right.
And there was dinner. And we were at another friend's birthday party before that.
That's
and she
right.
got super pissed. Remember that?
Yes.
Cookies got pissed.
Yes, cookies. We'll leave that alone. Yeah. For another podcast.
Yeah, cookies got pissed because I left. And I think maybe you might have met. Anyways. So yeah, that was an interesting little story there. But I've never seen a girl really, really, really come on to a guy like that. Especially, I guess, shit. You know what? I mean, they're human too. It's just the way they're brought up, I guess. I don't know. So anyways, let's see. Where else have we had some interesting...
I think one of the memories that I... was River Road Ice House.
Yeah? A venue out in... Green or New Braunfels,
Texas. It's in the New Braunfels area.
Hill Country, in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
It was a crazy gig.
Yeah?
And it was the first gig that I had experienced with this many, let's just call them social, very, very free women. And you had bras hanging from your bass guitar.
Oh, it was a labor... Or it was a Memorial Day weekend.
It was crazy.
It was a Memorial Day... Yeah, it was a Memorial Day... is it a Memorial Day or labor... No, it was Memorial Day, I think it was. So it was Memorial Day, and River Road Ice House is...
Women dancing on tables?
Yeah. Rubbing their boobies in our face.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting thing about that story. So that gig... So it was a venue out... I guess it's Green, but New Braunfels, Texas.
Right.
There's a lot of rivers in Texas, and people get these big, giant inner tubes, and they float down the rivers. I know they do in other cities and states, whatever, but it's really big in central Texas. They float down the river. And so, you know, we did this show, and it was Memorial Weekend. It was slam-packed with people from all over town. And, you know, the venue also used to rent... They'd have buses, and they would rent the inner tubes. So you could go tubing. You could park in this place. They take you to the river. You go tubing, and then you come back and live show. And yeah, so that gig, we had some girls come up on stage and take their tops off, like all off, and that gig, Ernie was playing drums,
right.
And it was at that gig where afterwards he goes, "Hey guys, I don't want to play drums anymore. I want to be up front with you guys." Like, seriously, he's like, I don't want to play drums anymore. I want to play guitar.
Self-taught guitarist.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be up on stage with the boobs. I want the boobs in the face. I want the boobs. So, anyways, that was that was the night I signed boobs. As I said that on the last podcast, which again, you know, the story is better than the experience. Experience is all right, whatever. All right. Well, no. So let's get into the girlfriend thing now. So you started. So how did you meet Stephanie?
So I've actually known Stephanie for over 6 years.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've known her for quite some time.
How did you know?
So when Stephanie's roommate was a really good friend of my brother's.
Okay.
So when my brother would come into town or they'd hang out, we all just kind of ran into each other. We ran in the same circles.
Okay, all right.
And Stephanie's always been... She was a great friend. I mean, mm-hmm. She's an even better fiance. You know, they say you get to marry your best friend is very cliche, but I feel very comfortable with her. I probably overshare more than I should
to a lot of things.
But yeah. So we just kind of started running around in the same circle, and we went to a bar. It's called, I don't know if it still is. I think it's Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And they have some great, great wine, free video games. Yeah, it's a real, like, classic place. And we were with about 15 people, I'd say, and we just focused on each other. So there was interest built in that day.
So was that before or after you brought her to my house?
So I brought her to your house probably a week after that.
So the first time I met Stephanie, you guys would come over for some dinner party I was putting together.
It was for your... Was it a tequila tasting?
No.
Was it your birthday?
It might have been my birthday. It was just... I always bring out the tequila. You come
over
to my house.
Fair enough.
You get tequila. In fact, I'm going back down to the valley for Easter. I'm going to have to pick up a couple of bottles.
TNT, tobacco and tequila.
Yeah. The tequila, yeah. So, yeah. And when I say the valley, I'll be going to Mexico and I'll be doing what they call bootlegging.
Ooh.
So, anyways... So the first time I saw her, she was here, And you guys, you know, it, to me, on the surface, it looked like you guys were a couple at the time. And I made the wrong assumption in saying that to her. Like, you were in a different room. And I guess I accidentally said, oh, yeah, where's your boyfriend, Omar? And she very quickly said, oh no, we're just friends.
We're just friends.
We're not dating. And it was that very harsh matter of fact. And you know what the funny thing is? God damn it, the friend zone sucks. It immediately brought me back to like high school and college. You're like, you have all these, you know, you think you're getting it off with a girl. And I was just like, you're such a good friend. I love having you as a friend. I can tell you anything and everything. I love having you as a friend. It's like the worst. Ladies, if anybody of you listen, if there's any females listening to this, which I doubt, do yourself a favor. If you have a male friend that you're not banging, stop talking to them. Bottom line, they don't want to be your friend. That's it. They're lying. All, just right now. Unless they're gay, if you have like a best friend that's a guy and he's single, he wants to fuck you. So don't, just do him a favor. Either return the favor or just cut them off altogether, because it's just stringing them along. Guys and girls are not really good friends together. They're not. They're, yeah, granted, generalizations aren't always good and there's exceptions to the rule. This one, better be safe than sorry, leave them alone. So when she said, oh, we're just friends, I was like, oh, that sucks. And then I laughed. And then I told everybody at the party about it.
Everybody.
Hey, Omar. Hey, Omar. Your date just said you guys are just friends. So I see you're not laughing right now.
There's a funny story to that, though.
What's that?
Well, so Stephanie, her response, and this was shared later.
Oh, I remember this.
The reason she responded like that is because I was really, she was giving me all the signs.
Yeah.
But I was taking none of them.
Yeah, trust me. Other thing, ladies, guys are fucking idiots when it comes to like taking hints. We don't take hints like today. Stephanie's like, fine, go to your friend's house. You need it. It looks like you need it.
Looks like you could use it.
It looks like you could. Looks like you could use it. Oh shit! Who didn't turn up? Oh fucking Paul.
Paul Miller.
So we just came back from a little break. Say hi one more.
Hello.
All right, so I forgot where we left off. We probably should have listened a little bit for where we were, but I think we can just pick up. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. So, Stephanie is white.
Yes.
And you are Mexican.
Yes.
What? What is that? Where is her pause?
No, you're fine. You're right. It's like, yes. I'm trying to forecast where you're going with this.
Oh,
go ahead.
Well, because, no, I'm in the same situation. I married a white girl. Like, you know, But one thing is, I never really date. Did you ever? Well, you dated some crazy Latinas. Yeah.
I've dated crazy everything.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
A lot of your other girls. I remember a lot of the other girls were pretty on the crazy side. But you never had any crazy Latinas? Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call them crazy, right?
Yeah.
You're a little more free spoken than I.
Yeah.
So.
Well, wild.
Yeah,
more fun.
Definitely on the challenging.
Not more fun than
just challenging relationships.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like Stephanie, dating Stephanie doesn't seem like a lot of work.
Oh, it's work.
Oh,
it's the kind of work that you want to do. You know, it's not like we talked earlier,
yeah.
Where we're saying, I never really saw a future. It was just kind of filling the void. With Stephanie, it's the work that I want to do because I do see a future.
But you think it's a lot of work, huh? Yeah, that's a yes. So I was at a friend of mine's wedding, friends from the valley that you know, and one of my buddies, okay, what's the matter?
Crack the neck real quick.
So one of my buddies was getting married, and one of our other buddies was doing the toast, and fucking hilarious toast. He goes, so in my group of friends from the valley that I grew up with, I was the first to get married, then there was the number two guy, then there was the number three guy. I don't want to give any names right now, but that's who I was. And they all know who they are. And the number two guy had gotten married, and then a year later, the number three guy got married. And at the number three wedding, the number two guy was given the best man toast. And he was trying to pontificate. He was trying to go mm-hmm. and like, you know, you need to do this, and you know, this is this. And he was trying to sound wise and all these things. And he's sitting there, we're all at the table drinking while he's doing his toast. And he goes, you know, it's, you know, I got married last year. I've been married for a whole year. It's, marriage is hard. You know, you have to listen to what the priest said. It's a lot of work, and you have to pray. And he started talking about this, and we're all looking at each other at the table like, what the fuck is he talking? Hard? A year? They've been married a year, and this is hard? So, anyways, it was pretty funny, and we still make fun of him today. Hopefully his wife doesn't hear this podcast, because then she'll definitely leave him. But that was the funniest fucking toast. And he didn't mean for it to be funny, but we were all laughing. So, anyways.
You get a lot of advice. I mean, you've been married now
for
how long?
For 6 years.
6 years. Yeah. I mean, that's
a long time.
Substantial.
In this day and age.
You can have opinions.
In this day and age, that's an eternity.
Absolutely.
Trust me.
Absolutely. I think since we've gotten engaged, there is a lot of people that try to give you their opinion, even when it's not warranted. We're not even talking about it. We just want to go hang out and have a drink, catch up with friends. It's like, so how's the wedding planning?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, God.
But you know what? You realize you did the same fucking shit to me today. So Omar comes over. We just redid the backyard. And I was showing him, you know, I got this little playground area for Emma. And then we got a little strip of grass for Andy to take a shit. And then I got a bocce court. And I hung up some of those string lights along the back fence. And I tried to bury the extension cord as best I could. But it came up and over a little railing. And this is exactly how my fucking family is. Like, any little flaw, I said this in the intro, right? Any little flaw, any little thing, like, you know, your hair kind of, maybe you'd be better. So immediately, like, hey, I see what you did here. It looks like shit. Why don't you do this, this, and this? And you immediately interject your fucking opinion. Don't interject. Anyways, so.
I just want the best for
you. Yeah. So what does your dad think about the way you are in your relationship with your... Because your dad's an older, roughneck, oil field kind of guy.
My dad
does
is
he think
not
you're a big
that,
pussy?
He's a huge... My father, ironically, is very romantic. So...
I didn't mean romantic or non-romantic. I just mean, does he think you're a pussy, just in general?
But in reference to what?
Because you're younger. Like, the young generation's young and lazy.
No. My dad knows that he raised me and my brother to be very hard workers. And honestly, he's been very, very respectful of the fact that we are now adults. And I think it was hard for him, you know, especially me being the eldest, however you want to put it. He realized that we've come into our own. And it's nice.
Yeah.
The conversations change, you know. Yeah. He's not lecturing all the time. He's kind of like, so what's up, dude? You know?
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
It's very different.
How old is he now?
My father is 64.
Wow.
Yeah.
He had you guys when you were young. I was a last minute. I was not a hole in a condom, because I don't think they wore condoms in the 70s, especially not in Mexico.
You're a hole in the sheepskin.
I was just non planned. I think poor reflexes. I don't know. I just wasn't planned. So
you were a cramp.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, my mom's Catholic, so there's no birth control.
Fair enough.
So I was unplanned. They had me when they were 40, but it worked out, I guess. I don't know. But I hear a lot of people complain and bitch about millennials. Even millennials. Older millennials will bitch about younger millennials. And they'll use the label, fucking millennials. And I'm like, you're a millennial. Don't try. And I'm like, no, I'm a zillennial. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Well, a zillennial is people that are born in the range of a millennial, but they don't like to be associated with millennials. So they carved out their own sort of demographic, or their own generation, huh?
We can go so many directions with that.
No, that's serious. They're millennials. They're just older millennials. And I'm like, I don't think the problem is millennials in general. I think it's just your generalization of people, and you're not able to carve yourself out, so you have to make your own little label. And it's bullshit. It's absolutely bullshit. Like, no, there's Gen X millennials. Like, you don't make up shit. You don't get to, what the fuck was I going with? Oh, yeah. But I think every generation thinks the previous generation's a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
Like, people, like, in the Gen X generation think millennials are a bunch of pussies. Well, the motherfuckers that fought in fucking World War II, you know, getting parachuted into Normandy, they thought all the Generation X hippies were fucking pussies.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it, like, so don't get upset at the...
No.
I'm not telling you, but, like, for the people that get upset at the fact that, like, oh, millennials are a bunch of this. Listen, every previous generation thought that one after is a bunch of pussies. And trust me, if you don't believe me, ask anybody that might have survived Korea or survived, I don't know if anybody alive anymore that survived World War II, but ask any of them what they think about, you know.
I think there's bigger things to bitch about.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't realize that until you're older.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, things change.
Speaking of bitching.
Okay.
Tell me about the worst argument you and Stephanie got into.
Man.
You guys get into some serious fights?
We've gotten into a few good ones.
Like throwing elbows?
No.
Open hand hits.
She usually throws candles at me or something.
She throws like the Catholic candles? Yeah. The ones that are glass in case.
The big old five-day burns. Yeah. With a picture of the Virgin
Jesus
Mary on it.
Jesus died Tijuana. Yeah. Those candles?
Yeah, exactly.
I was a born in East LA reference right there. Pick up the phone! Tijuana!
We've had some pretty significant disagreements. You know that they're just so silly. They're stupid.
Oh yeah, all of them are.
We live together. We cohabitate. And yeah. That was a big deal. It was a big step.
Sinner.
Yeah. Sorry, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to live with someone, Lenny. I mean, yeah. I live with my brother, and thank God we're still related.
It was hard. Why is it hard?
Because I am a very stubborn, set in my ways type of person. We got in an argument, and I know this is going to sound silly, but sweetheart, I know you're going to listen to this, so I'm going to bring it up. We got in a fight about the shower curtain.
Like, what was wrong with the shower curtain?
So I don't like to leave the shower curtain open.
What do you mean? Like,
you take a shower, you get out of it, and you close the curtain.
She likes to leave it open to let it air out, or what?
I guess. I don't know. And I walk.
Why does she leave it open?
I don't know. There's no real rule for her, right? She doesn't have she doesn't believe that that's a real thing. It's just, I open the shower, I get out, I get in the shower, I close it, right? That's her process.
So then why do you even have a shower curtain? Like, does she have, like, the decorative outer one, or is it just the inner one?
Yeah, so we have a liner and a decorative outer.
Okay.
We have two shower rods in our restroom.
So then why do you need the outer one if you're going to keep it open the whole time?
So it looks pretty.
But if it's open,
oh,
you
I
can't
agree.
See it.
You see my point. I you're with me. So the challenge.
You know, we had a friend. We had a mutual friend just call in. We had to pause the podcast while he called, and he goes, "It's like that. It's like that scene in what was it? Greg Kinnear and Jack Nicholson.
Oh,
as good as it gets.
As good as it gets."
When she goes, "How do you when you write about women? How do you depict women so well?" And he goes, "I think of a man, and then I take away reason and logic." And I personally think that's very offensive, and I don't agree with that. I'm just going to get that out in the open. But I can see how that applies to your story right now.
Oh, great. Thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that. God, I'm sleeping on the couch after this one.
So go on. So it was about the. So how bad did that argument get? Did it last days, or was it like, I'm right, and no, fuck you, and then you guys had like some passionate sex?
I wish it was
premarital sex, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Sinners. So they usually don't last that long, which is good. I think the longest... It wouldn't even be considered an argument. The longest argument, we were just so exhausted, we fell asleep, but we only argued for like 30 minutes.
You fell asleep? Oh,
yeah,
really?
Like, she fell asleep. She went to the other room to watch TV.
Yeah.
And fell asleep.
Yeah.
I fell asleep and I woke up like at 4 a.m. and I'm like, sounds so gay, but I'm sorry. Whatever you want to say. I don't know. I thought we can say whatever we want, right?
Yeah.
Fuck shit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I woke up at like 4 a.m.
And you missed her?
I missed her, man.
Oh.
But I was stubborn.
You're like, no, fuck that.
I'm staying in bed.
Staying in bed? Good for you. Stick your fucking ground.
Yeah, but the next morning, I mean, it was fine. She made me breakfast and brought it upstairs. And
she made you breakfast?
Oh, yeah. She's a great woman, dude.
Do you think she's going to keep doing that after you guys get married?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you think all like this, like what she's doing now, like same. Like after marriage, it's the same. That's what I mean. Is that your expectation?
Yeah, that's my expectation.
No, get them out. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get them all out there. It's good to document it. I mean, it's wrong, but it's good that you get it all documented on the air.
Prenuptial agreement or just a radio podcast?
You know what? Technically speaking, it's a one-way prenuptial agreement. You're saying this is what you expect, and hopefully she's receptive to that.
So if she listens to this.
Which I also doubt.
But if she listens to
this. She would have turned this bullshit off about fucking 5 minutes in.
Fair enough. But if she listens to it fully.
Yeah, yeah.
She agrees.
Ah, yeah, okay, right? Fair enough. Yeah, that's
consent.
The condition. You know what? I'm not a lawyer, but I know a lot of lawyers. I'm pretty sure that's legally binding.
I'm sure we can do it.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So anyway, so your expectations are breakfast in bed.
Not all the
two
time.
Or three times a week.
No.
No, like once, one or two times a week.
Once a quarter.
Once a quarter?
Yeah.
Okay, that's sweet. All right, so you think that's going to keep happening. Okay, all right. Well, that's noble. It's cute. Yeah, I like it. Do you ever find yourself like giving her your best, like you're only showing your best side in front of her, or like has she heard you fart?
Oh.
Well, she so the farting me. Is easy because
no,
that's,
farting is absolutely easy.
Yeah, because that's just natural and everything. But like
she's seen me at my all-time worst.
Oh, when is that?
So
She's never seen you drunk with Ernie and I.
No, but she's seen me drunk and scared.
Drunk and scared,
which is like being with Ernie and you.
What do you mean drunk and scared? Like, so, she was scared.
I was scared.
No, why the fuck were you scared?
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna share.
Yeah, pussy.
A little bit, but I had like a. And what was it, almost a year ago now? Yeah. A year ago last December. So I developed a hernia. And that shit was painful.
In your stomach?
In my groin.
In your groin. Yeah. I think I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, and it was bad. It was in a lot of pain for a very long time. And we had gone out one evening and it was a date night. I wasn't even living in Houston yet. I was moving the next couple of weeks. We had gone out on a date night and I just turned a certain way and I was we had a great night.
Yeah,
drank a lot of wine and I literally just couldn't move anymore, and she saw me and she was there for me and she saw me through it. She made sure I went to the doctor the next day, you know, and I wasn't even home at the time, so I had to call around. And you know, living here, that it's, you can't just walk into a doctor sometimes. It could take a couple of days to see a doctor and get a referral, so she helped me get that all done. So I knew right then that it was a serious relationship and that she was going to see me through things. And we've done that for each other on just several times. And whether it be health or dealing with emotional stresses or losses. And she always just brings a smile to my
face. So it's good that a girl's like with you through the thick and thin of it.
Yeah, at your best and worst. And
bailing you out of jail.
I 100% believe she would probably leave me there and get me the next day sometime.
Have you ever bailed anybody out of jail?
Do
you ever have any friends like that?
No. I would bail someone out of
but
jail.
But have you ever done it before?
No.
You've never had any friends that got arrested that you needed to bail them out?
I was arrested and bailed out. Okay. Oh, man. I love that guy. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to bail somebody out of jail twice.
Yeah.
So. And you know, it's funny, for those who have never bailed somebody out of jail, like you've never really bonded with somebody till you're busting them out of a joint. Like, it really is, you're like the first ounce of freedom they get. It's a pretty bonding experience. The one thing though is the first time you get arrested, you think like, well, I've never been arrested, but like the first time you get thrown in the joint, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go to jail. I get a phone call and then they come and post bail and I get out after a couple hours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's what I, you know, my friend called me. He's like, hey, Lenny, listen, I need help. I got arrested. And then I'm like, okay. I showed up at the jail I went to the bondsman. They're like, well, you need to go get a bond. I'm like, well, what the, I don't know how to do this. Like, I go to the jail. I'm like, look, I'm white enough that I've never done this before. What the fuck do I do? What am I supposed to do? Like, well, you need to post bail. I'm like, well, how do I do that? Like, well, you need to go to a bondsman, whatever the fuck they're called, and then you go pay for the bond. It's a $3,000 bond, and you need to come, or $3,000 bail. You need to come bail them out.
You pay 10%.
So I paid. So I went to the. Found that, you know, mint, and all the bondmen, they're all by the jailhouse, and they're open super late. So I had to go fill out all this paperwork. They took my picture, took a blood sample, a little semen sample, it was real weird. And then paid $330, and he gave me the bond to get him out of jail. So I went, and I went back to the jail maybe about an hour later. And all this, of course, was like at 2 in the morning. So I'm fucking tired. I'm like, oh, I gotta go to work tomorrow. So does he. Fucking A, we gotta get this fucking thing over with. So I go back to the jail around 2:30, 3 in the morning, and I'm like, all right, I'm waiting for my little docket to be called, and the judge is sitting at a much higher bench, and they had the glass wall in the back, and you could see all the inmates, and I sit there, and I slammed the paper down. I'm like, all right, here I am, here's the bail. And they're like, all right, okay, very good, thank you very much. And I'm just kind of standing there, like, waiting to see what's next. He's like, you can go back and sit down, sir. I was like, oh, I know, but I just, you know, I paid you the money, and now I'm trying to get my friend out. He's like, oh, well, we have to process him. I'm like, fucking process him. What does that mean? He's like, well, you know, we got to, you know, get all the processing done. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just wait here. He goes, no, I don't think you understand. Like, he's not getting out till tomorrow. Like, we're not going to process him now. I was like, what the fuck? I could see him. He's right there. Like, I'm pointing. That one right there, the big tall one. The one that's going to look like he's going to fuck everybody else. So anyways, so I had to bust him out of the joint, which was, it was interesting, but I had to go back the next day. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's a once in a lifetime experience. I think everybody should go through it. So you got thrown in the joint. Forgot about that.
Yep.
Oh, do we want to edit that out or leave that in?
No. That's terrible. Let's skip that.
All right. So, anyways, back to our topic. So you're gotten a fight with Stephanie about
a shower curtain.
Shower curtain, and I mean, how did that end up? You guys, so she was on the couch and you were in the bed.
No, we have multiple beds. We don't have. So yeah. She was in the guest room, watching TV and fell asleep. Air quotes.
Yeah. Fell asleep.
And I was watching TV in the bedroom, and it just. We try. I mean, Lenny, we're living together. It's not easy.
Yeah, let's get back to it. You guys are living together. So what's so hard about it?
You're so set. I mean, I'm 37 years old, right?
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. I'm set in my ways. I've never really lived with anyone. Mm-hmm. My brother, when we lived together, we kind of just did our own thing. And even then, it wasn't ideal because we're brothers. We're siblings.
Yeah.
We don't always get along. Not being able to get away and not having a referee,
yeah,
aka parents, you can get in really serious fights with your siblings when there's no one mediating for you.
Of course.
So that's the only person I ever really lived with or stayed extended amount of time with.
And you could punch him in the face.
Absolutely.
It's perfectly acceptable. Yeah, absolutely. Punch him in the face.
Throw him on the couch, right?
It's 2018. You can't exactly punch your fiance in the face anymore.
No. It's not like cameras everywhere.
Not like the 60s. Like, to the moon, Alice. Yeah, to the moon.
One of these days.
Yeah, one of these days.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow.
So
it's great honeymooners reference.
It is. Yeah, I understand. It's difficult. I've heard a lot of people say this. Like, you're kind of set in your ways once you get to a certain age where you're not used to like having to, you know, accommodate. How? So you're 37. How old is your fiance?
She's 35 in May.
35 in May. Okay, so you guys are on the younger side. It's okay. Amy was 35 when we met. I was 33. I was okay moving in. I mean, we, like I said on the first podcast, I dated Amy for a week. You met her on the fourth day, on our fourth date.
Oh, that's
you
a
met
story.
Her. Yeah, and you danced with her. I even told her, I said, hey, listen, we're gonna go to this country bar. You're gonna meet my best friend Omar. He's gonna take you to dance right away. He's not even gonna stop. He's gonna take you to dance. So we got to that gigantic Thirsty Horse Saloon, and first thing you did is you picked her up and you took her out on the dance floor. Which, you know what's funny? Cody said on the last show, he goes, it's women are not allowed to say no when a guy asks them to country dance. And I was like, I think they can. And I think what you're talking about is on the borderline of like rapey. It's a little on the rapey
side. Cody, though.
Like, yeah. Like, you, a girl could say no. Because a lot of girls have told me no. So, anyways.
So, my favorite, just touching on that topic. It's a great topic. So, women can say no, obviously. Yeah. But I think it's the way that women say no. There's many different levels of no.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We went to Thirsty Horse a lot. Living in San Antonio. It's a great bar. If you're ever in the San Antonio area, go check it out. Great music. Great drinks. When you ask a woman to dance and she's like, no thank you, I'm here with friends.
Yeah.
But then you ask that one woman, that uppity snot-nosed woman,
bitch,
aka,
yeah,
right, you ask her to dance and she's like, oh my god, no. Like, look, I'm not asking you to get married.
It's a dance. Yeah, hey, you want to dance? You look bored as shit.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that scowl on your face. How about we turn that frown upside down and hit the dance floor?
You have the best RBF I've ever seen.
Yeah. Resting bitch face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It also crushes your self-esteem. One of my best friends in college, this motherfucker, you know, we'd all go out and go to the dance club and looking at girls and, hey bitch, how's it going? Ooh, I want to get in your pants. And girls are looking at you like, ooh, I want to suck his dick. And then, like, you know, you try and go make a move, you ask a girl to dance, and they do the, oh no, are you kidding? And for the rest of the night, after a girl shoots you down, typically in my situation, like, all right, well, fuck it, I'm not going to hook up tonight. I'm going to go get drunk with my friends and act like an asshole. So I'd sit down and pound about 18 beers, and then fucking, you know, that would be the end of it.
Or purple geckos.
Purple gecko. But my friend, my best friend in college, he's like, no, 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 you don't understand. I'm here to get laid. So if you're not going to dance with me, there's another bitch that will. So he would just go down, and he would start with, you know, the hottest girl in the room, and just work his way down. And every fucking time we'd all go out, he'd always take home some girl. And I'm like, how the fuck does this guy do? It's like, because he, you know,
he
persistent.
He has zero standards, and he's
persistent. It's not standards. Oh, whoa.
I think, I don't know.
It's not standards.
Is that a bad assumption?
No, it is. It is. You ask one girl to dance, she says, no, hey, there's plenty of fish in the sea.
Okay.
You want to be a little bit of a bitch? I'll go ask you.
You're right the first time.
You know what? Actually, I was just asking you to try and get close to your hotter friend, and you asked the hotter friend. You know? That kind of thing. And besides, women, they love to be judged against the other women in the room. They love to be judged against their friends. Hey, use a fucking coaster.
All right. So, kind of building on that, which so making you feel good about yourself, building up your self-esteem, not knocking you down. And
yeah.
I think that's another thing. Whenever Stephanie and I started getting serious in our dating, she always does. She builds me up every day. And you have to have somebody that's going to stand behind you.
So she's building you up.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. It's like a big crescendo.
A massive crescendo.
Yeah. Now you know that...
It's going to plateau?
It's going to plateau. Okay. And then like in most musical, you know, songs, and there's always a crescendo and then a decrescendo. So you know, she's going to be spending all this time now building you up, and then you're going to get married, and then, you know... Because, you know, it's funny. It's funny how things change. They don't change right away. It's not like you put the wedding ring on their finger, and the minute the piece of metal goes around the last knuckle on the ring finger, it's not like right after that she's like, I just want to sit on the couch and eat bonbons. Fuck you. Like, it's not like that happens like right then and there. It's just things your courtship comes to an end, and you begin a new chapter of legally binding relationships.
Okay.
All right. So it's just a little bit different. Now, granted, for me, for a lot of my friends, it's been a lot of fun. It's like I never had the year in like, oh, marriage is hard. To be honest, like the first 5, 6, I'd still think we're kind of on our honeymoon. We're a little bit more mature, and we have to be more adults now, which kind of sucks. But you know, especially because we have a child, we have to be a parent. But we've been fortunate in that sense that I haven't really changed much. Neither is Amy. She's equally as tolerant of me now as she was before. But you know. I'm trying to get to what your expectations are.
I don't expect it to, but yes, I do. I mean, for lack of a better term, I don't expect it. I hope that she always wants to, because I want to.
Is it honor and obey? Isn't that part of the marriage vows? Like, honor and obey?
So, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. That's what I thought.
Marriage is a big deal. Yeah, we just got done with marriage classes, too.
I was going to say, so you're Catholic, you're cohabitating, you had...
It's hard. It's very hard.
It is hard. You did the 183 questionnaire? You had to do the questionnaire, right?
Yeah.
And they make you do the full questions. So for those that don't know, Amy and I tried to get married in the Catholic Church. It didn't work out, but we tried. And they make you do a questionnaire, right? First thing off the bat. And the nuns asking the questions like, all right, so are you guys cohabitating? And like, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm like, what does that mean? And she's like, are you living with her? And I said, yes, we are. And she's like, okay. And so she's like, answer all 187 questions. And so it's this questionnaire. This is what it is, right? It's a questionnaire. It's like, you know, fill in the choice, like Scantron, bubbling in. And you answer all these questions. And the questions are pretty weird. Like, a lot of them are religious-based and everything else. A lot of them are family, money-based. You know, and we're kind of chuckling at some of the answers. Like, one of the ones that Amy laughed at, she goes, it was, do you find your future spouse's sense of humor inappropriate at times? Well, yeah. Like, or funny. I think that's what they mean, is funny. So, those things like that. The other one that was weird is, like, straight up asking, do you bring God into the bedroom with you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, does that mean, like, you're supposed to pray before we bang? Or does that just mean she calls out God's name as we're banging?
Right. There's a lot to it. I mean, you're right, Lenny. It definitely has been an eye-opener.
Yeah.
So, but once again... I'm dating not only a white girl, but she's a teacher. So she has a very, very thorough...
They drink the most.
Oh, my gosh.
The teachers drink. People don't realize this. The teachers, like when I was in college, like, yeah, you could party with, you know, the history majors, you could party with the engineering. I was an engineer major, party with those guys. And then when you party with the elementary education or the education majors, holy fuck, did those people drink. They put everybody to shame.
I think our educators deserve a drink.
I totally agree.
100%.
Like, so. I was not much different now than I was when I was a teenager. I guarantee you I drove most of my teachers to the bottle. Most. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them were hitting the bottle in class, like right before I'd walk in.
By the way, happy spring break.
Yeah, happy spring break, everybody. So, whatever teachers are listening that are still sober,
yeah,
happy spring break.
And if you're not sober, you probably think this is lot more funnier than it actually is.
So she's a teacher going.
And, you know, we do a lot of road trips. We like to hike and get out of the city. We had already done a lot of those. So, babe, we're going to be driving for the next 3 hours. Why don't we do these 50 questions you should ask your future spouse? All right, and she would find all these questions on the internet. Ironically, most of them came from classes like the marriage prep or things that, I don't know, they're obviously developed by people.
You're on a fucking road trip and she's asking you questions about marriage?
Oh, man, digging it. No, not marriage.
About
things that you should know. Like, they're like...
Well, exactly.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Shouldn't she fucking already know?
Well, we had already done these things. This was during our courtship phase.
You're still courting her, by the way.
Okay, fair enough.
So that sounds terrible.
Until when does a courtship end? When
you're married.
Really?
Yeah.
It does not. So
right now, you guys.
I have a question.
Yeah, yeah. This is like you're still test driving the car, and the car salesman's super nice to you, and you haven't signed the papers yet. What's your question?
Separate account or mutual account?
On what? For what?
Money.
Oh, for before marriage? I don't think you can put a joint account before marriage.
No, I'm asking just in general. After you get married, do you have a joint account or do you...
Yeah. So, I said this in the first podcast. My wife is brilliant, especially like... So, you know what? If I were to say... Like, hey Ames, I want to let's go out to dinner. I want to take you. We're gonna get a babysitter, and I want to take you to the fanciest restaurant in town. We'll have the most expensive bottle of wine, and maybe do a little dancing. If it was either that, or said, hey Ames, listen, we need to revise our spreadsheet, our budget. Could you help me build this Excel spreadsheet, make it look nice? If it was a choice between those two, Amy would pick working. I think secretly, my wife's the kind of person that the idea of sitting down. Quiet, maybe like a Saturday morning, everybody's still asleep, drinking a nice cup of hot chocolate or coffee to just work on a spreadsheet. I think that makes her... So like, my wife is amazing at budgeting. She knows... She's really, really good with money. I am so lucky in that regard. I'm not bad with money. It's just, she's really, really good. And so... She's amazing. She just paid off her student loan after like 30 years, but she just
What an amazing relief and accomplishment that is.
Yeah, when she told me when she paid off all of her loans, she was like, she was happy as shit. Again, in front of a spreadsheet on the couch, you know, with a blanket. So anyways, fuck man, I derailed you. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
So,
Stephanie, we build each other up.
Yeah. It sounds terrible.
It does.
The boringest shit I could put on here.
I know.
I'm gonna have to fucking edit all that sappy shit out.
So, what else? You said expectations.
Mm-hmm.
What do I think is gonna continue?
Yeah.
Sex.
Sex, huh?
Sex is great.
You guys are banging all the time, I bet.
Yeah.
4 times a week?
I would. Yeah.
Four?
That's.
Yeah, four, and it's probably pretty adventurous.
At least.
Yeah.
We have a great time.
Hey, you still open mouth kiss?
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Frenchies do it best.
Yeah. So gross. Yeah. And that's going to keep going.
Wouldn't it? So right. Here's the why not?
Why not? Why wouldn't it? It's a good point. That's a fair expectation.
I think,
a realistic expectation.
So I think a realistic expectation, just before you give me your...
I'm not going to say shit about this.
You're just going to leave it alone? Okay,
fair enough.
I guess this is where we should say so. The way that I proposed was, man, I didn't want her to know. But we do a lot. And the city of, for those of y'all that don't live here, the city of Houston is just an awesome place. And we have the luxury of living in the inner city.
Yeah.
So there's the Bayou Trails and all that stuff. Long story short, we like to get out and say, oh, this is a beautiful view of downtown. So this particular time, I was like, hey, she really wanted a date night. We hadn't done much other than work out, do all that lame crap that we do. And so I said, okay, leave Friday open. I had already done the ring. I already purchased it. I just was looking for the right opportunity. And I knew that when I got this ring, I wasn't going to be able to hold on to it very long because I'm not good with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, okay, so Friday night we're going to go on a date. So I call up her parents and I'm like, hey, can you be here on Friday? Her parents agreed. Sister, my parents, my brother, my sister all came into town. And I had made reservations at an Italian restaurant in the Galleria area. So they were there. They had already set up everything. And one of her best friends was also there. Great. She was a great help. She really helped me do all this stuff. Pick her up. We're going to the water wall. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, the water wall is a pretty cool place. It's not like the best, coolest thing to do in Houston, but it's fun. Get to the water wall, and she's already thinking to herself. She shared this with me afterwards. She's like, oh my God, how Mexican is this? He's going to propose to me in front of the water wall. Okay.
And you did it.
And I didn't.
Oh, you did not?
I didn't, but that was my original plan. But that
but you heard work. Her say that, and you're like, you know what?
No, I just it just worked out. So, but the fun part of this whole story is we're taking the Uber.
Yeah.
And when I pick her up, I had a ring. But the way clothes are nowadays, where do you put the ring?
Pocket?
No, it's not. I don't wear baggy jeans anymore like I used to. And of course, I pick like the tightest jeans that I freaking own. And the nice fitted shirt, right? Did you want to look good on your wedding day?
I kept it in a jacket pocket. But okay.
So no, it didn't fit. And I had bought this really nice oak box that when you open it up has an LED and it makes it sparkle. Yeah. Oh dude, Christ. Yeah, dude. I would gone all out. So the only place that there was room, well, there wasn't really room, but the only place it kind of fit was my crotch. So I hid the ring in my crotch. I don't know if any of y'all have ever had a ring box in your crotch, but it's very uncomfortable.
Sharp corners?
Oh, dude, it had sharp corners. It had sharp corners. So we walk, and
you were wearing skinny jeans.
And I'm wearing skinny jeans, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Manny, they had these jeans had nothing on the tightness that you get, but yeah. they were pretty close. So, and for those of y'all that don't know Manny, he's the drummer for Band of Bandits. He's also a great, great friend. I hope he's listening to this.
Yeah, skinny jean aficionado.
So yeah, he's a skinny jean aficionado. So I had Manny jeans on. That's what I'm going to call him.
Wow.
And I'm walking through the gallery, and they're not going to go down my pant leg, obviously, because they're tight.
So you're walking around with a sharp-cornered box in your balls.
In the balls.
And so when you propose, you like reach in your crotch to
pull. It gets better.
Babe, right? I got something for you. And you just stick your hand down your crotch, like, let me just get this out. And like, are you playing a little pocket pool there, son?
It's gonna get even better, buddy. So we walked the water wall, we just kind of reminiscing. I was like, hey, I want to take you to this place I was telling you about so you can get a view of the city. And I had made a request with the downtown Hyatt.
Yeah.
To utilize their upper rooftop glass encased little conference room that they have there, and they had said it's cool, so that's why I proposed. So we're walking through Galleria Mall.
Yep.
And the ring box shifts from the front of my crotch
down your asshole
to the back.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
So I'm like, oh my God, what do I do, right? So I'm like doing these like waddle shifts to try and get this ring back at least to the center of my legs so it doesn't look like I'm friggin' smuggling something and get.
Or it doesn't look like you just shit your pants.
Yeah, exactly. Look like I shit my pants.
Did you just shit a Rubik's Cube?
Yeah. So security's gonna come and tap on my shoulder in about the next 2 seconds to just totally ruin everything.
Oh, so, yeah. Please tell me you handed her that box that's it.
It gets better. It's almost, we're almost there. So we're going up, finally meet the lady. We go up the elevator and we get to the room and she's like, she's great. She's a great participant. She's like, oh my God, I got a phone call. I got to leave.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, check out this view. So as soon as Stephanie turned around, me saying the words, I forgot this part, check out this view, was when the videographer was going to come out.
And you're going to have this all filmed.
Oh, dude, there's footage of this. It gets better. So I have pictures, a video of me digging through the front of my pants to get this ring out. There's actual footage. It was awesome.
So she's not looking. You're reaching down between your ass cheeks, the front to down to the back of your ass cheeks,
and the photographer's starting to take pictures.
You're pulling it out. Hopefully, you don't scrape anything. And then you get on one knee, and then you handed the ring
that was in my crotch for the last 45 minutes.
And then she opens it. The LED turns on. It looks beautiful. And she's like, "This is the most beautiful ring I've ever." It kind of smells like shit.
Oh my god, a little sweaty.
So this is, I imagine this is how like prisoners, you know, propose to each other, smuggling contraband.
This is like an episode of 60 Days In, right?
Yeah. Oh my god. So you handed it. Did you at least wash your hands afterwards?
No.
Hey, let's go get a corn dog. let's go get some finger food.
The photographer is like, I'm like, thank you so much. He's like, here's some Purell. So
please,
yeah.
Sir, go wash your hands, please. Right
the
away.
The restroom's over there. Man, it was great. I proposed. That's how I proposed. The backdrop of the city. I had some champagne already stored there.
Yeah.
So the whole nine yards. And so she's crying. There's pictures of the beautiful, beautiful photos. And she's like, oh my gosh, is this date night?
So and she said
like,
yes.
So she's like, of course she said yes. And she's like, she gets this face like, is that it? Is it over? I thought we were going to go out to dinner, you know? Like, I'm still hungry here.
Dude, so you know, with women, this is true. Like, when women are hungry, and most people.
Yeah, let's say most people.
Most people. But when women are hungry, oh man, they get hangry.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, thank you for this ring. It's so beautiful. We're still going to eat, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Then,
we're not, this isn't dinner, is it? Or like, do you save enough money after this for dinner?
Yeah.
Anyways, well, listen, that's great. I think, you know what? It's been a pretty long podcast. We'll have to edit some stuff out, but man, this is great. Did you have fun?
It's been fun. It's been a blast.
We got to do this again.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe when next time Ernie comes in town, you can show up and we'll do that again.
Maybe we can figure out how to do call-ins.
Yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun.
I got to learn how to do the call-ins. I'll figure out how I can route that in. I think maybe I can use a speaker. Anyways, listen, enough of that. Listen, guys, thank you so much for listening. Third podcast, my friend Omar Cruz, about to get married. He expects his wife to continue having sex four times a night, four times a week. And adventurous and open mouth kiss, all that stuff. So,
thanks a lot, Lenny, for having me.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye, guys.